Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about I am the church. I am the church. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, I am the church. Now, we're here in this building, what we call the church. But how many knows that this building is not the church? God forbid, and I bind the devil in the name of Jesus, but if this place burned to the ground, the church didn't burn. The church building burned, but the church didn't burn. I am the church. And I want to talk to you tonight about isolation versus fellowship. Isolation versus fellowship. I really should have, and getting closer to the service time, I thought I should have really preached this on a Sunday morning, because people on Wednesday night are usually involved and in part of fellowship. But I want to give you some tools. I want to give you some stuff that other folks don't know. See, I want you to know, I believe in the church. I believe in the church. We are the church. Church was not our idea. Church was God's idea. I believe in the church. I believe in you. I believe in you, the church. That there's a lot. See, I look at the church a lot like I look at America. Because, man, I am patriotic through and through. I am red, white, and blue. But, man, there's a lot of issues with America. And there's a lot of problems in America. But when it's all said and done, I'd rather live here than any other country on the planet. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of problems with some and a lot of churches. And we're not perfect. We got our own problems. And there are problems in the church. Let me tell you what the problems are in the church. And I could probably end it right here. Are you ready? Here's the problem in the church. It's filled with people. That's it right there, baby. It is filled with people. That's the problem with the church. But let me tell you, the good thing about the church is it's filled with people. Let me tell you something else about the church. It is filled with the grace and the mercy of God. Let me tell you something else about the church. It is the church that God chose to be the vehicle to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. And it's still alive and well and thriving today. See, the church is what brings us together. God brought us together to rule, to reign with Him, and to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Throughout time and throughout eternity, the church, the bride of Christ. I want you to know He's coming back for the church. And that's us. No matter what the devil might throw at us, the church. We know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, the church. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the church. Well, I feel this thing. I am the church. I am the church. Now, let me tell you another problem. The problem is I represent the church to people. That's the problem. Why? Because I'm human. But with all of its frailties and all of its deformities, I still am the church. Now go with me to Acts chapter 2. It's going to be a jumping in place here. Acts chapter 2, let's go to verse 41. 41. When you get there, say, I'm the church. If you're not there yet, say, I'm not quite the church yet, but I'm headed there. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Here's what it says. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. We just had a baptism just 2 weeks ago. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. We didn't quite have that many people added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all, and as anyone had need. So continuing daily one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor. Here it is, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Father, help me to get over to portray, to convey what you've placed in my heart for tonight in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Church, it's your choice. Fellowship or isolation. Now, right now, you can kind of determine where you fall into those lines because, well, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm in fellowship because I'm here tonight. Well, how many knows that you can be somewhere without being there? Husbands do it all the time. Yes, dear. You're not there. You're just kind of there. All right? But let's get a little bit further in this thing. Nations build walls of isolation. Ancient cities were surrounded by moats and high walls for the purpose of keeping others out. That's why they built those things. That's why they built the walls. That's why they built the moats. It was to keep people from coming in. And many are isolating themselves from the body of Christ and are suffering alone and afraid. Now God spoke in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 and he said, and it was not good for man to be alone. But Pastor, if I'm alone, nobody can hurt me. You're right. You can't. But that's what the devil wants us to do, is to become isolated. But God said it was not good for man to be alone. David went into isolation and found that his troubles only increased in Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25 verse 16 says, "Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all." Now I want you to hear this and hear me closely. Loneliness and distress seem to go hand in hand. Matter of fact, one of the wisest men that ever walked other than Jesus, Solomon, said that it's not good for a man to walk alone. Because if one falls, the other can help him up. There's another scripture that we use a lot in men's group, that iron sharpens iron. We need one another. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell them this. So, and I don't want you to be mean or mean-spirited, but I just wanted you to tell them, I might not like you, but I need you. Now that's just honesty. Now some of you folks enjoy that a little too much, but that's just honesty. Well, Pastor, look, we got folks making up over here. Pastor, that's a little mean. Listen, I've got a family of 10. I've got 10 siblings. There are times I don't like my family. There are times. But I always love them. There are times I don't agree with them, but I still love them. There are times that we don't see eye to eye. Sometimes I think I'm adopted. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I still love them. I heard this thing. I got to share it with you, because I got a bunch of poor jokes because I was real po. We were so po, we had an OR on Lelway. We were so po, we couldn't even afford the rest of the letters. I heard one today, it was a classic, that this one guy said, we were so poor that a family from Haiti sponsored us. That's poor right there, y'all. I ain't lying. That's poor. All right, but we live in a culture that has becoming increasingly isolated even as we branch out on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and all these other little things that we get involved in with, that we are so connected. You know what I'm talking about? We're so connected, we can't even worship because we got to check the latest Facebook status. Because we want to be connected. But really what we are is been isolated. And this has only added to our isolation. Because it's easy to stand behind anonymity and stand behind and not be able to look at somebody in the face and tell them something without, you know, people go, well, I'm just so shy. I can't talk in people. But you show your hotel on Facebook. Oh, I really said that, didn't I? We're so shy, but yet you'll tell all of your business and everybody else's business on Facebook. People retreat into gated communities where they can drive it right into their garage and enter their house without having to say anything to their neighbors. Oh, God, I'll go where you send me, God. I'll go to Africa. I'll go here. I'll go there. Go next door. No, God, not there. Please, anywhere but there. Right? You know, I thought this was an interesting read. That it was the breakdown of American society. And do you know the one invention that they attributed to the breakdown of community in America? Television, internet? No. Air conditioning. Air conditioning. Because you used to go outside to get cool. You used to go outside and you'd see your neighbor over there and you go drink sweet tea or, hey, Mary, how you doing? Hey, quite contrary, how you doing? Hey this, hey that. But now, you know, we don't go outside. It's too hot, especially in Florida, right? And I thought it was a very interesting read. So we spend hours on the internet. We're texting so that we never actually have to have face-to-face contact with another human, and even churches aren't immune. I'm amazed at how many couples fight via email. And texting. Now, I know that's comical, but that's truth. I know couples. I have counseled couples who fight through email or texting. I'm like, wait a minute. You mean he's in the living room, you in the bedroom, and y'all are texting? Sometimes. And then he said, not all the time. Sometimes she's right next door, right next to me in the bed. Let me just help some of you. That's idiocy. That's idiotic. Well, I can convey myself better in writing. No, you can't. Because they can't see this. And they can't see this and that and this and this and this. They can't see all that. They can't see. Don't make me draw my gun. But now, my next statement, I want to clarify and specify because, you know, I've heard preachers say this, and you know, in our church is around 500-600 people. So I've heard preachers say this from, and usually it always comes from smaller churches. Well, I'll tell you right now why they run in that crowd because they ain't preaching the gospel. I've heard, and that's true with some churches, but that's true in some small churches too. And then I've heard this. Well, I'll tell you right now, they run in that many because they don't let the Holy Ghost move. So I've heard all that. So I'm clarifying, not all churches, but let me just say this. That I'm convinced that one of the reasons mega churches have flourished in our culture is that people can go there and remain anonymous if they wish. And it doesn't have to be a mega church, a church of over 500. There are people that I meet from time to time that they said they've been coming to our church for a while, and I don't know who they are. And I apologize for that. I'm not that sharp. Don't say amen real loud. I will come out there. So I understand that, but I believe that we can do this, that we go to church and we just kind of slide in and slide out, never connecting and never developing relationships with other members of the body. I'm going to tell you what that does to us. It causes us to remain shallow. And it doesn't cause us to go deeper with the things of God. And it means that we stay shallow and on the surface of things. And here's what gets me as a pastor. You guys don't get it as much as I do. But here's what gets me is people come to church, they slide in, they slide out, and then they slide out, but then they're not noticed that they're slid out, and then they're offended that nobody noticed that they slid out. when nobody called me for 3 months, and I want to go, who did you call anybody? I mean, you know, the Lord speaks to me, but usually he doesn't speak to me people's names. Lord, I just love you. Ronnie, have you noticed Becky's not there? Lord, Becky who? I'm not sure. I didn't catch a last name. She never filled out a focus card. She never introduced herself to me. Now, of course, I'm kidding. But I'm trying to get a point across. Do we really believe that this is truth? That is not good for man to be alone. Do we really believe that? Yeah, because it is true. Now, let me give the other side some due. Because I'm one of the, you know, people say to me all the time, oh, Pastor, you know, you love being the life of the party. And I do. I love being around people. But something that some of you might not recognize, I love to be alone too. You know why? Because I like me. I'm okay with just me. Some people don't like themselves and they don't want to get alone with themselves. I'm fine with just me. Yeah. I mean, I like me. I think me is cool. Well, Pastor, I don't like you. Well, everybody can't be cool, but that's all right. No, I'm kidding. But I'm okay with being me. So here's point one. Why do we isolate ourselves from other Christians? If we truly believe that God doesn't want us to be alone, then why do we isolate ourselves from other Christians? Now here comes my sub-points because I wrote a few of them down. Number one, probably the number one in my opinion. I don't want to be hurt again. I don't want to be hurt again. Now let me ask this question, and I want you to raise your hand. This is Life Application Wednesday night, Life Application teaching. This is people participation. If you've ever been hurt in church by pastor or people, come on, just lift your hand. I don't know if anybody didn't have their hand raised. And if you did, it's probably because this is your first time ever coming to church. And somebody put a thing on my Facebook. I thought it was so cool. They said they thought of me when they read it. It says, I want to apologize for everybody I have not offended. But give me time, I will get to you. I think there's some truth to that. I don't mean to be offensive, but sometimes I just come across that way. And I apologize. I apologize. But we've all been hurt, and we don't want to get involved in people's lives because people's lives are messy. And I don't want to get hurt again, Pastor. It's very difficult to trust people after you've been hurt, after you've been stabbed in the back, treated badly, or whatever the case might be. When trust is broken, it's hard to rebuild that, isn't it? It's so hard to rebuild that trust again after it's been broken. But the problem with this is that the devil will use this against you and make you think it's okay to respond by isolating yourself. Well, I'll go to church, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to get involved with anybody. I'm not going to get involved in church. I'm going to throw my walls up, and I'm just going to go to church, and I'm going to give God His glory. I'm going to give God His due, and then I'm going to go on out and do my own thing, and that way I just won't get hurt again. And you're playing into the hands of the enemy. He'll lie to you to make you think it's better just to be alone. But it's a lie because it's all based upon fear. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. All right? Fear kills relationships, destroys community, and breeds isolation. See, we're supposed to be a community. You know, and let's... Lord Jesus, I don't know if it's the anointing or what. But let me just throw this out here. Not only is it fear, but sometimes you just look at people and go, I don't know if I trust them. And I totally agree with that. Because if you're offended by this, it means that you're really not living in reality. But as I look across this congregation, I have different levels of relationship with each and every one of you differently. And there are some that I trust more than others. What do you mean by trust? Just take it however you want it. You know, there's some that I would trust with my, and I can't think of any of you that are sitting here right now, but there's some that I would trust with my money clip. With my Harley. No, let's not go there. I said, let's live in reality, brother. I ain't trusting you with my Harley. Unless I know you can ride a Harley. Amen. But, all right, but let's take that. I've offered my Harley to Brother Cash. Why? Because I trust him. Why? Because I know he's got good insurance. Now, but you understand what I'm saying? But then there are some, you know, have you ever met those people when they walk up, you grab your wallet? Just to check and make sure it's still there? But, you know, there are... I remember Pastor Cash and I, because we've known each other for a long time, and he was our district overseer, our regional bishop for many years. And I remember we met a pastor that came into our region, and we took him to lunch, and Pastor Cash said, "What do you think about this pastor?" I said, "I don't know, there's something right about that fellow." I went home, my wife said, "What'd you think about him?" I said, "Oh, something ain't right." And you know what? Something wasn't right with him. And it took about a year and a half, and it proved that something wasn't right with him. What was it? None of your business. It just wasn't right. And let's just say we're glad he moved on down the road. All right? Now, here comes another one. Ready? I don't have time. I don't have time for fellowship. I don't have time for relationships. We know that relationships take time. And time is valuable. And we say to ourselves, we don't have the time. You know what? I was a busy man when I met my wife, Sherry. But I made time to drive 3 hours just to see her for a couple of hours and drive home. Here's the truth. We will make time for whatever it is that we value. And until we see the value of being with people of faith and being in the house of God, then we're not going to make it a priority. We let anything come before it. We will always prioritize our time according to our true passions and that is important to us. We prioritize what we value the most. Time is such an easy excuse, isn't it? Oh, I don't have time. Have you ever done let me just encourage you. I've done it myself and I do it from time to time often that I will journal or put in my calendar what I've done all day. And I go and I go, "What? That's all I've got done today? Are you kidding me?" And I thought I didn't have time. You know, because we waste time. Again, the devil will tell you that you don't have time for it. In fact, he will have you believing that all that you do, good and righteous things that you're doing right now, is time enough well spent. You don't have time to do anything else. So he'll trick you into believing that you're doing your duty, doing your part, and that's good enough. But hear this one. Improper priorities kill relationships and destroys community and breeds isolation. Improper priorities. You know, how many of you have ever had friends that go, "Oh, you didn't have to do that"? We know. That's what being friends are. Oh, you know, I go and visit people, you know, and Roger does a lot more than I do now that he's our visitation pastor. But I'll go visit people who are sick and they're, "Oh, pastor, you didn't have to time. You didn't need to come here. You didn't have time." You know, it's not that we want to be, that we, you know, I don't know anybody who wants to be around sick people except for sick people. Right? I mean, you know, you don't just enjoy being around sick people. You do that because you want to show your concern. You do that because you want to show them that, listen, you're valuable to me. You're valuable. So we want you to know that we're praying for you. We want you to know, you know. So friendship costs you something. I'm going to say that again. Friendships cost you something, but you have to invest in order to receive something from that friendship. Improper priorities kill relationships, destroys community, and breeds isolations. Here comes another one. You ready? I don't want to be judged. Well, too bad. I don't want to be judged. See, in the past, I've looked at the lives of those around me and felt like I have been judged. And I didn't want anything to do with them. Does it happen? Absolutely does it happen. You know, I'm not going to get up here and go, well, the church does it. Oh, bull, yeah, they do. Does it happen? Absolutely. Is it right? Never. Do we allow this to keep us from fellowshipping? Yes. Should we? No. Why? Because some people are just going to judge you. I'm sorry. But, you know, I don't understand why people think that only goes on in the church. I mean, like it didn't happen in the club? Are you kidding me? Oh, look at her. Can you believe she wore that up in here? Who she thinks she is? Blah, 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 blah. But what did you do? You went on over there, just put your hand up, shut up, just got your groove on anyway, right? And I don't know why we can't do it at church. Well, because church is supposed to be different, right? It's supposed to be, but remember what I told you in the beginning? It's filled with people. Am I helping anybody? You're being judged. Don't take it too personal. Now, granted, there are many people out there in the church who will point fingers and judge you. They are there and you can't get away from them. I'm sorry. I know people who will judge you for the same thing they just got through doing. But somehow, you ain't supposed to do it. They're there. You can't get away from them. However, there are times when the judgment we're receiving is sometimes in our minds, and we think we're being judged when we're not. You know, I had a guy, and you know, I had somebody that left the church one time, and they would say, and they want to kind of come back to the church, and they go, well, Pastor, I'd like to come back to the church, but everybody knows what I did. I was like, and I told him, I said, dude, nobody even knows who you are. Well, I know that everybody knows. I said, dude, I promise you, you come, they won't even know who you are. And you know what happened? They came to church. And nobody asked him about it, and nobody said, you know, matter of fact, nobody really other than said, hey, welcome. Are you a visitor? And they got offended. Am I a visitor? I've been going to this church for 20 years. I was like, no, you ain't. You've been gone for like 5. And don't even nobody, you know, they were offended that nobody remembered them. True story. True story. In the old building, we only had 150 people, maybe 200 at the time. We did a church directory. Never forget it, on a Sunday night. This guy came in. He and his wife, they'd been gone for a year and a half. They came in. I was up on stage back when I did worship, and I was up on stage. They come up there and said, Pastor. I said, oh, hey, how you guys doing? Good. He said, do you want us in this church? Like, what? Where is this coming from? He said, do you want us in this church? And really, I didn't. I know y'all don't want to hear it. But remember the three families I told y'all that I was glad when they left? This was one of them. And so I was very diplomatic. I said, everybody needs a good church. They said, Pastor, do you want us in this church? I said, where? I almost called his name just then. I said, where is this coming from? And here's what they said. Well, we're not in this bulletin, or we're not in this directory. I was like, for God's sake, dude, you've been gone for a year and a half. But we were still a part of the church. I said, here, give me that. Give me the directory. I took his directory. I took my pen. I wrote his name in there. There you go. Now, we laugh about that unless it was you. Because here's what they thought. Well, nobody loves us. Everybody hates us. We're going to go to the garden and eat some worms. But I'm telling you, most of the time, people aren't even thinking about you. I mean, I know people who can't watch football because every time they huddle up, they think they're talking about them. Some of y'all get that. Yeah, you just got it, didn't you, Molly? Here's the fact. When many times, when we think others are thinking about us, they really aren't. Do you know what they're thinking about? They're wondering if anybody's thinking about them. Isn't that the truth? I mean, how many of you ever came in with, like, you know, something wrong with your clothes and you go, oh my God, everybody's going to notice. All right, hey, I'm in Uruguay, y'all. I'm in Uruguay and I'm preaching. I mean, man, I'm. It was a Thursday night. It was the Sunday. It was a Tuesday night, so I wasn't sick. But I was exhausted, and I went to church that night, and I preached. Man, I preached my guts out, man. That it was in Cesar Santana's church, one of the great churches over there. Man, them people were going nuts and everything. And man, I'd done preached 45 minutes. I come down to lay hands on some people, and I begin to lay hands, and all of a sudden I went, "Ooh, wait." My zipper was all the way down. And you know, I'm praying for the first person. Oh, Jesus, God, my zipper was down the whole time. Oh, God, look, Lord, I hope my shirt tail wasn't hanging out or something. Lord Jesus. Y'all know it's kind of hard to embarrass me because I tell on myself. But that's just the truth. And you know what? And matter of fact, there's this one, Carlos Sarti. You remember Carlos? His new wife, she was there and he said, oh, she sees everything. And I asked her, I said, did you notice my zipper was undone? And she said, no, because I was too busy noticing that my husband's zipper was undone. And so see, I was worried are you getting the point? Most of the time, they're not thinking about you. We oftentimes allow the enemy to build this up in our minds. Think about it. The fear of being judged is just that, fear. Fear kills relationships, destroys communities, and breeds isolation. Let me give you another one. I compare myself to others, and I don't match up. I just don't match up. You know, one of the things I love about our church is the variety of people we have here in our church. Ethnicity, socioeconomics, I love the variety. And God teaches us not to compare ourselves to other people, but what keeps us from being isolated or keeps us being isolated is that we do compare ourselves to others and we don't measure up. You know, I'll say this from a pastoral point. I sometimes get around guys, and I'm in some circles, and I think, I am way out of my league. What am I doing with these guys? Because, man, I'm not the man they are. I'm not the pastor they are. I'm not the pulpiteer they are. I'm not the orator that they are. I'm not the theologian that they are. I'm not the talented. I'm not the musician that they are. Wait a minute, Pastor, you feel that? Yeah, I do. Then what do? I run and hide. I run into my room and I hide. No! I fight that. Just like you gotta fight it. You fight it because the only way that you're going to get better is by being around people who are better than you in areas. You cannot fly with eagles if all you hang around is turkeys and a bunch of chickens scratching in the dirt. Now, well, Pastor, do you mean that I don't need to hang around any of those? No, they need you. If you're the eagle and they're the turkey, then they need you to bring them up to eagle status. Or get eaten. No, I'm just kidding. That was Alan. Hush, Alan. Alan be putting stuff in my bed. But does that make sense to you? And let me, I started to ask you now, but how many's ever done that? You compared yourself to others. I just don't measure up. I don't fit in. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have the right car. I don't have the money they have. I'm not from the same background. I'm not as religious as they are. I'm not as spiritual as they are. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not this. That's hogwash. Throw it out. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You know, listen, when I started dating Sherry, I was a sinner. Now, I'm glad that she didn't know the scripture at the time, don't be unequally yoked. Because I'm just going to go on record. If you're a child of God, I don't think you've got any business dating somebody that ain't saved. Now, I'm not talking about you where you got married and you got saved. Now you're ready to kick them to the curb. That is not of God. That is not of God. But if you're, if you're a child of God, especially if you're on fire for God, don't be going looking for some weak, lame person to date. Let God bring them to you. Amen. That's good preaching. All right. So, what Sherry did for me? She made me want to serve God. She made me want to serve God. Don't compare yourself to others that you don't just match up. You know what? Because here's the reality. You don't measure up. Well, that's harsh, isn't it, Pastor? No, because here's the deal. You don't measure up to them in some areas, and they don't measure up to you in other areas. Everybody, thank you. Everybody has different gifts and different talents. Listen. Not everybody can be as good looking as Don Merrill. Is that right? Slip me that five. You know, not everybody can do that. But everybody's got different talents. And you got to look at that God. Some of the problems that we have in our lives is that we're trying to be strong in areas where we're weak. And you're trying to fake it till you can make it. And you think that, well, bless God, this is where I'm talented in. This is where this, you know, I excel in this. I'm going to work on the areas where I'm weak. And I'm not telling you just to let them areas go. But some of you are miserable because you're trying to do something you're not gifted by Jesus to do. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that you're not gifted. But you've got to understand your giftings and your call. And there are some things you're not gifted to do. All right? So understand. You know, I really believe, I don't care how much I train, I'm not going to dunk a basketball without a trampoline or a ladder involved. Since the enemy tells us at least. The reality is sometimes this is just an avenue of envy that we're walking in. One of the greatest causes of isolation is envy. I'm jealous of what they have. But God, why couldn't you give me that? You know, how many's ever heard somebody say this? I wish that God would have made me rich other than so good looking. I've heard people say that all my life. I was like, bless their heart, they didn't give me either one. We are such a covetous people that we have a hard time rejoicing in the good that comes to others because we're envious of what they have. It's sad that you can't tell people your victories because of fear of them judging you. It's sad that you can't share when God gives you a good deal on a house or a car because you're afraid of what people might say in judging you. Now, anybody ever said this to you? Must be nice. All right, let me help you with that, all right? Because I've got it conquered. When they go, it must be nice, you go, it is. Shake your head like you got some weave. Yes, it is. I used to get so sick of that. So that's what I started doing. Oh, that must be nice. I said, it is. What else you got? Some people buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And in order to do that, we become slaves to our jobs, not because we have such a great work ethic, but because we don't want somebody else to get something that we ain't got before we get it. It is. You know, listen, I love technology, but not as much as I love thee. Nobody ever seen that show? Oh, Virginia has. What's the name of that show? That was Napoleon Dynamite. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't ever watched that show? That is the stupidest movie you'll ever watch. God, but it's funny. But anyway, I love technology. You're the only nerd in the group that got it, sister. I'm sorry. If Brian would have been here, he'd have got it too, though. Don't worry. But here's the deal. I love technology, but I don't have to run out and buy the latest, greatest gadget that comes out just because I don't have it. All right? Don't be envious. Well, Pastor, I am envious. What do I need to do? Pray. Ask God to help you. Ask God to where does this coming from? You know, here's the problem with a lot of Christians is we get saved, but we never ask God to heal us from the deeper things than that what's right on the surface. Think about it. All the relationships that are damaged and broken because we get jealous of something good that happens to somebody else. We've all been there. Remember when you were young, hanging out with your friends, and then your friend got a girlfriend, or your girlfriend, or you know, if you're a girl, your friend got a boyfriend, and all of a sudden, they want to hang out with them more than you? What is wrong with them? They just kicked me to the curb. Well, wait till you find that right person and you will kick them to the curb too. Right? It just happens. But instead of being happy for them, we get mad at them and then usually lose the relationship with them that could have been a great relationship for life. All because of envy. All because of jealousy. Comparing ourselves to others kills relationships, destroys community, and breaks isolation. Would you look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to let the devil isolate me. And I'm not going to let all these other things that Pastor's talking about isolate me either. And I got them wrote down so I can look at them later. All right, don't give it yet, Broderick. But here's one that's going to make some people mad. Now look at your neighbor, tell them, Pastor ain't mad at nobody. Gonna make some folks mad. Here we go. Give it to me now, Broderick. I am lazy. You wonder why you're isolated. You're lazy. Because let me tell you something. Working on relationships is work. Dealing with people is work. You know, I'm sometimes, you know, my youngest daughter, she's a big social bug, but she lives in an 8-man dorm, which means that there's a bedroom here, a community bathroom, then another bedroom here with a common area. So she's around those 8 people all the time, and she'll tell me sometimes, like, she'll say, Dad, I'm coming home this weekend and I'm not bringing anybody. I was like, whoa, what's the matter? No, I just need time away from everybody. Okay. And you know what? She'll come home and I think she's going to curl up on the couch with me and we're going to watch TV and we're just going to be together. And you know what she does? She goes to her room. I was like, hey, I thought you came home to see us. She said, I did. I just saw you. And now I know because she says, I just need some time by myself. Because you know why? All that's hard work. But some folks are just too lazy to have a relationship with anybody. Why? Because it takes energy. I know of a lady several years ago. She came to our church. She said, "Pastor, I've been in this church for 6 months, and I haven't made one friend." And I said, "Are you friendly?" She said, "Excuse me?" True story. "Excuse me?" I said, "Are you friendly?" "Well, I think I am." I said, "Well, I haven't seen you at any church celebrations." "Well, I don't believe in those. I just come to church." I said, "Wait a minute, but you come late and leave early. By the time I'm giving the altar call, you out the door." "Well, because I just don't want to be bothered with people." And I started to go, "And here's your sign." Yeah. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E says, if you want friends, make yourself friendly. "Well, I'm afraid of being rejected." Yep. "Well, aren't you going to help me?" "Nope, you got it. You're right. And you're going to be rejected from time to time." "How do you know?" "I know you can't believe it, but not everybody likes me. And there's some people who like my preaching, but they don't want to talk to me." Probably because they're convicted. See, sometimes we're just too lazy. Lazy people usually find themselves isolated just as a natural consequence of their behavior. And you know what it goes back to? "Well, I just don't have the energy." Lazy people don't. You're right. "I don't have the energy to put into it." You know, I've told this story before. But I remember when all of my pastoral friends were people who pastored churches smaller than mine. And let me just say, and I hate to admit this, but it's truth. I kind of liked it. Because I was the big dog. I didn't have to work at fitting in. They tried to work at fitting in with me. There was no energy from me. I could just be me. And that was when our church ran about 250. But then God said, I'll never forget it. He said, "I'm about to stretch you." I don't know if you people stretch. I stretch daily. Not because it feels good. Some people go, "Oh, stretching just feels so good, you know." Something's wrong with you. I mean, I stretch so I can touch my toes. And it does feel good a little bit, but in a bad kind of way. But when you have something that has not been stretched, and then you decide to stretch it, it ain't fun. You know what? You know why I can't bend all the way over and touch my hands to the floor? Oh, I could. But something's going to strip. And it's going to involve somebody else pushing on me to get it there because I'm not that limber. Right? I got this bumper that kind of keeps it from going all the way flat. Right? Because there's resistance there. So God said, "I'm going to stretch you." And you know what he made me do? I had to go introduce myself to people who had churches bigger than me. I had to put myself out there for rejection. And you know what happened? I wish I could tell you I never was rejected, but I was. Like my second person. The first one was Tom Sturbins. Tom Sturbins at the time was running about 500-600 people down there in Fort Myers, and man, he accepted me, and boy, we just got to talking. He walked me to my car, and I was like, "Dude, I ain't gonna give you no kiss or nothing, but come on, bro, you know, we just We're just friends, bro. And then this other guy named, well, I'll call his name. His name is Brother Miller. You don't know which one I'm talking about. You will, but anyway. So the Lord gave me, I knew that the Lord wanted me to connect with Brother Miller. And so I tried to connect with him. And I went to his church when they'd have revivals, and I would introduce myself. And then we saw each other at Rod Parsley, and he said, "Oh, hey, how are you?" And because he had a big church, I didn't want him to think that I was stalking him, or I didn't want him to have to struggle for my name because he knows how many people he knows. So I'd walk up to him, hey, Pastor Miller, Ronnie Reed. "Oh, yeah, hey, Ronnie, I know who you are." "Okay, good, you little liar, but okay." But that was cool. And so eventually, you know, and I would always do it. Hey, Pastor Miller, how are you, sir? You know, and he would just not give me the time of day. And one day, I'll never forget it. It was at camp meeting. And he was standing there talking to my former pastor. And I walked up and said, "Hey, Pastor Miller." He just went. And I went, "God, I've tried like 8 times. And, you know, am I released?" He said, "You're released from him." I said, "Okay, good." And here's what I thought as I walked away. "You're lost, sucker. Because I'm a good friend, by jingles." And then after all the stuff he went through, I was glad I didn't have a relationship with him anyway. So God maybe saved me from that. I don't know. Because he had some situations. But what I'm saying is this. If you don't put yourself out there, you're right, you're never going to get hurt. But man, some of the greatest friends I have is because I put myself out there. Some of the greatest relationships, I put myself out there. Now listen to me, hear me closely. Some people want to make friends, but you can't just the first time you meet somebody regurgitate your whole life on them. All right? I'm trying to help you. You can't just tell them everything. You know, "Hey, how are you doing?" "I'm doing great. I got Mercer." Really? "And gangrene, leprosy." I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You can't just go and understand. Relationships take energy and they take time. All right, I got to finish. For tonight anyway. I got to finish with this story. I got a story. Laziness kills relationships and destroys community, breeds isolation. All right, I got to give you this last one, this other one. Lazy people, no, not that one yet. I do got one more. Jeez. All right. Lazy people rarely develop deep relationships with others because they don't have the ambition to drive to get involved in the lives of other people. All right, here comes the last one is, "I'm greedy and I'm selfish." And when I'm greedy and I'm selfish, selfishness kills relationships, destroys community, and breeds isolation. I wanted to give you this one. There's a seminary student going to celebrate in the rain one Sunday morning. Got in his car and he headed down to church for a church celebration. And as he was leaving his dorm, the rain had started to fall, and the closer he was getting to the celebration house, the harder the rain began to fall. The weatherman had predicted severe weather that day, and he had decided to go to celebration anyway. "I'm going anyway." Because sometimes the weatherman's wrong. But as he drove along, the rain became harder and harder until it was almost a downpour, but he kept going. Then as he drove along he passed someone walking on the sidewalk. He pulled his car over to the curb and motioned to the pedestrian to get in the car. The pedestrian came over, opened the door, and got in. It turned out to be a person walking that rainy morning was Professor Jones, an older, dignified gentleman who taught theology at the seminary. Professor Jones was close to retirement. The student had taken several classes from him. And he said, "Professor Jones, what are you doing out on a day like this without a car?" Professor Jones replied, "Well, my car's broke. It's not that far. So I was going to Sunday celebration. I'm on my way there. I want to be with my church family." The student said, "Professor, didn't you see the weather report? Didn't you know that they had predicted rain for today? Why did you decide today to go to celebrate? Professor Jones replied, and I love this. I didn't make the decision to go to church today. I made the decision 50 years ago when I gave my heart to Christ. I made my decision a long time ago. My decision is not made on present day circumstances. Come on. He said, I promised him I'd do my best to follow his word and every chance I get to be around his people, the church. So no, I didn't decide today to celebrate the church. I made that decision a long time ago. Let me say, we need to make some decisions. It's your choice, church. Fellowship or isolation. Now today, I talked about isolation. Next Wednesday night, if God willing, I'll give you five or six reasons, good reasons for fellowship. I hate to end a service on all just the negatives, but you know, the mind can only receive what the behind can endure. But I want you to ask yourself the question. I can't answer that for you. You have to ask yourself the question. Where do I fall in the line? Am I isolated or am I in fellowship with God's people? Now, when you say God's people, I'm not talking about just your spouse. And I know they're God's people. But Pastor, you don't know, it's hard to be around my spouse. Well, I praise the Lord. Bless you. I'm talking about God's people. It takes energy. It takes work. But it's worth it. It's worth it. You know where we find, do you know where we build relationships at? We build relationships going to school, work, going to church, and doing ministry with people at church. You know, some of the closest relationships that you have, and I could pick out people in this church, some of the closest relationships you have in this church is because you do ministry with the people that you are close to. Do you know I'm not close with people I haven't never met? Did you catch that? I'm just not close with them at all. But people I do ministry with, people I work alongside. You know, my family's, and I've said this, I've been away from home since 1985, and I feel closer to my church family than I do sometimes my own family. So I want you to ask that question. Where do I stand? Am I isolated or am I in fellowship? And you can, you know, these notes are on YouVersion. I think I've got them on there till Friday night or Saturday night. You can go on there and you can send them to yourself or email them to yourself somehow according to your operating system to have them and go over them a little while. But you know where you're at. And I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Lift up your hands. You can just stay seated if you want to. And just lift up your hands and ask God, Lord, help me. You know the areas where you've battled. If you don't know, then the Holy Spirit does. Bless you, Jesus. I bless you, God. Lord, every one of us in here has fears. Every one of us in here needs people. We need other people. But Lord, sometimes it's so scary because we've been hurt. We've been let down. We've had trust broken. And it's hard sometimes to even believe that we need somebody because we're doing okay by ourselves. God, your word says that it's not good for man to be alone. This church thing, it was your idea, not ours. So tonight, God, I ask you just to illuminate in our heart the things that are keeping us from entering into fellowship with other believers. Lord, I understand that some folks probably have all their friends are unchurched people, and God, that's not good. They need unchurched people, but they need church people. God, I pray that you would give them the courage. I break the power and the spirit of fear, that we keep people at arm's length, imprisoned behind walls of insecurity, behind walls of untrust. Lord, let them recognize. I pray, God, that I've accomplished the task of letting them know it's going to be work involved, that it's going to take time, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. So God, illuminate yourself to them. Help us to take the challenge. Help us to move beyond the fear. Every heart that's been broken, God, I pray that you mend it tonight. Every dream that has been dashed, I pray that you resurrect it tonight. In your mighty name. In your mighty name. In your mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.